Welcome to the Final Hooter with myself, Dave Parkinson, and Mr. Adrian Jackson.
Yes, guess who's back?
He's back.
Back again. We've been away for over a month. We're back.
We have. And I must say, you've been tanning, haven't you, mate?
I've got my tan.
I think you've been working on something anyway. It's either that
gravy
or
gravy browning.
It's either that or muck.
Guess who's back? Back again. Come on, I'll stop singing.
Oh, yeah. You like your singing. You like your singing. Don't. We'll have everybody switching off.
Right.
Did you adjust your microphone then?
I did, sorry.
That was very rude.
Very rude.
Very rude.
I do apologise, people.
Anyway, we're here.
Fans of rugby league.
Fans of rugby league.
The family coming back together.
That's it. Love rugby league. And Radio General.
Yeah, thanks to Radio General for letting us use fantastic equipment, by the way. If it weren't for them guys, wow, where would we be?
Oh, we really would be up someplace without a paddle.
Exactly.
But thankfully, they've brought us a dinghy. They've managed to fix all the equipment. And here we are, for your pure listening pleasure.
Having said that, we're saying we're back. Guess who's back within the British Rugby League area?
Go on.
Just Brian Smith and Tim Sheens.
I was expecting a great big round of applause there. We didn't have it, did we? Hang on.
Welcome back, Tim Sheens. Yeah.
Tim Sheens,
top,
yeah.
Top Australian coach.
Well, the last time he was over here.
Well, he's going to work a cut out with Salford, though.
The last time he was over here, he won the World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah, he won't be winning it with Salford.
I don't think he'll be winning much
Wooden
with Salford,
spoon,
to be honest.
Maybe.
Well, no, that's not going to happen. That's Wakefield.
That's next season.
Even Brian Smith couldn't lift Wakefield to greater glory, although they are doing their level best at the moment to the Wildcats to go for a signing a week, every week until the end of the season. They're going to have a brand new squad by the time it gets in place at the end of the year, aren't they?
Tell you what did happen while we were away.
Go on.
I met Chris Kamara. Not name dropping or anything.
You are. You're name dropping, though. Chris Kamara.
I did, yeah.
Did you say, did you say anything about Jeff? I want to know where Jeff was.
I asked him, would Jeff have enjoyed it? And he said, yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
I mean, just to prove it, I mean, we could have played the full interview, but it's old news, isn't it? But just play a little snippet anyway, just to prove that we did have Chris Kamara lined up.
Right, here he is.
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was looking forward to it anyway before the game started today. And then Widnes were very, very good, I'd have to say. You know, they didn't deserve to be beaten by the wide margin that it finished up with, because they played better than that, that's for certain. And when they were on top, that wonderful try from Adam Swift against the runner play was just an amazing view. You know, you'd be at a football match and you'd see top talented players, the likes of Messi, if you're watching the Champions League or the Spanish League, or Suarez when he was at Liverpool, or now he's at Barca, and of course Rooney and people like those running past four or five players, and then turn of electric pace and getting the ball over the touchline, absolutely fabulous, and that set the game alight. It didn't make a difference to Widnes. They became more determined from then on, and then they got themselves back into the game. The only thing that St Helens would say is there were a couple of sloppy tries that they gave away that could have been avoided, but take nothing away from Widnes. They were in it. Half-time team talk must have been great, because they come out even stronger in the second half and they were looking for it. But just once, I thought James Robey was outstanding for St Helens. I mean, I saw what the man of the match was, and I just thought, oh, you know, it's always the same, you know. Us midfield players, as he is in that midfield, dictating the game, you know, goes unnoticed at times. But for me, I thought he was the man of the match today. And I thought his pass for the try that put them in front was the turning point of the game.
Wow.
We're not playing all of it, just a little bit, a little teaser, just to let you know that he knows his stuff, does Chris Kamara.
Wow, you and Chris Kamara. I tell you what, didn't he sound enthusiastic? I just love the enthusiasm.
I loved his perm.
You were after his suit as well.
I was, yeah, the snazzy suit at the semi-final.
It was very, very smart.
Speaking of that, yeah, the Challenge Cup did reach the semi-final stages since we've been away. And it was Chris Kamara and Paul Sculthorpe who pulled the balls out, the balls, not theirs, to line up St Helens versus Leeds and Hull KR versus Warrington.
Interesting draw. Very
Friday
interesting
night
draw.
For a semi-final, not a fan of that.
Well, you know, you pays your money, you gets your choice.
Friday night.
This is what the rugby league said. They like to innovate, don't they?
Quarter to one on a Saturday.
Well, at least it wasn't quarter to one in the morning. You never know, maybe that could have happened for our Australian viewers, or our Australian listeners even.
Possibly. G'day.
G'day, just in case.
Can't do accents of us, can we? I mean, we tried being topical, doing Geordie accents, and that never worked.
No, it didn't. We didn't.
What else has happened within the world of rugby league since we've been away?
Tell me, Adrian. England,
get this, have launched a new kit that looks exactly the same as the last one.
All right, okay, so it's white and red.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got the England badge on.
Right, okay.
And it looks exactly the same as the last one.
I did notice on the promotional pictures that Sean O'Loughlin was modelling it.
He's going to be the captain, apparently.
When you take on New Zealand. He'll pull out injured.
That's the word on the street, man.
I'm sure he'll be injured.
Lockers for captain. When they take on the New Zealanders.
I tell you what, though. Chris Hill looked good in his, though.
He did.
Are you
starting off your Chris Hill man crush again?
No, I thought you were the one.
No, you took
Chris
it off me.
Yeah,
he's old news.
Oh, who's your man crush then?
I don't have a man crush.
You've moved on.
I've moved on, man.
He's no longer metrosexual.
I'm into the Women's Rugby League.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
Let's move on. Andy Hay, remember him? Being sacked by Featherstone and now being replaced by John Sharp. Welcome back to Rugby League, John Sharp.
Well, he's never been away. He's just been the guy who's been in charge of the referees.
Well, welcome back to coaching rugby league teams, then.
I suppose so. He definitely wasn't coaching the referees, was he?
No, he's not had a good start at Featherstone as well, has he?
No. They did get spanked in the first game, and then they lost to Sheffield Eagles, didn't they?
Speaking of Sheffield Eagles, they reached their 1,000th game. Well done, guys.
That is really good. I mean, it's over two incarnations, isn't it, of the club in Furness. But, yeah, it's a massive achievement for everybody in South Yorkshire. And I'm really pleased, to be honest.
I am. I like Sheffield. I like Mark Aston.
Mark Aston's a decent guy. You just don't want to catch him 2 minutes after his team's just lost.
Oh, no.
You just want to give him about 5 or 10 minutes, and then he's fine. He's the most placid coach that there is out there.
Have you noticed, though, the players as well, they obviously know what he's like, because I've noticed when I've been at Sheffield, the guys spend a little bit longer than most teams outside still signing autographs.
They do, yes.
Scared to go in and meet the gaffer, or face the gaffer.
To be fair, though, he is a top bloke, Mark Astor. I'm really pleased that he's involved in rugby league. And, of course, he's the Ireland coach as well, isn't he?
He is. John Sharp, can he be the man to revive Featherstone?
I'd like to say yes, you know, because it's a bit of a fairy tale, though, because John Sharp, he's returning to the place where he got his very first coaching badges, isn't he?
Because
as an academy coach in about 96, 97, I think.
Kind of feel sorry for Featherstone, because under the old licensing system, they dominated the championship, didn't they, when Darryl Powell was the coach, and Darryl moves on to Castleford. Franchising gets removed back to promotion and relegation, and Featherstone are just not the team they were anymore.
Well, you say
they're not the four.
You say it's returning back to promotion and relegation, but, you know, we didn't have anybody promoted last season.
No.
And the potential is that, you know, no sides will step into Super League this season as well. Obviously, we're approaching the, you know, the big business end. We're into the eights as far as it goes. But, yeah, back on Featherstone, they were an outstanding rugby league side for about 4 or 5 years.
They were.
Very, very consistent. And it was all built on the likes of Liam Finn. And we all know that he's been able to step into Super League and do a tremendous job with Castleford Tigers. But as is Darryl Powell in Furness, you know, there isn't a better English coach around, if you ask me.
Mentioned Super 8s and Middle 8s. Well, that's all been settled. Any surprises within the teams that are there, Middle 8s or the Super 8s?
Hang on, just get ahead of yourself. It's not been decided yet.
It has.
It's not. It's
it
not.
Has.
If Hull Kingston Rovers beat St Helens by 92 points...
Yeah.
And, you know, Catalan losing their game, then they'll swap places.
Right, okay.
Okay, it's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen.
The top eight's settled. The bottom four in the championship is going to consist of Hulkingston Rovers, Widnes Salford, and Wakefield. The only thing to decide there in the last game before we have the split for Widnes and Salford, who's going to finish 9th and 10th, or is it 10th and 11th? 10th and 11th, isn't it?
Well, it's 9th and 10th, isn't it? You know, there's still a bit of a chance, isn't there, that, you know, they could overhaul. They could overhaul Hull Kingston Rovers, couldn't they? You're on 18 points, I think. A Widnes on 17 points.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, so.
Salford on 17 points. So
very,
it's a winner-take-all situation there at the Halton Stadium in that last game.
Potentially. The vying for a trip not to go to Lee.
They get that extra match, don't they? at home.
To be fair, yes, and I'm excited by it, you know, because usually we'd be reaching this sort of stage of the season and, you know, a Wigan and Widnes encounter over at Wigan would be a foregone conclusion. Wigan would romp home by 50 points. Dennis Betts would be telling us about how tired his team looked and everything like that.
Lacked energy.
Lacked energy, yeah. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks, Dennis.
We mentioned the Super 8. Team that surprised me to be in there. Hull FC, I expected them to be down in the middle four, or the bottom four, along with Hull KR.
Did you expect Hull Kingston Rovers then to be in the top eight?
No.
Who was the team you were expecting to be in the top eight then?
Widnes.
You're joking.
I did, honestly. I thought Widnes.
You are joking me.
I thought, with making the top eight last year, they could have built on that.
Last
promise.
Season was a one-season wonder, Adrian.
I'm sorry.
You're playing with your microphone again.
I know, can't help it.
It's just, you know what it was? You're sabotaging because I'm calling your prediction of Widnes for getting in the top eight. That's what you're doing.
All right, Widnes let me down. But yeah, fair play to Hull FC. Lee Radford, always the man who's going to be getting sat next week, but he seems to ride the pressure and get the results when it matters.
Yeah, he's always been the man who's been teetering, hasn't he? Teetering on the brink of the dull queue, but you know, fortunately for him, it hasn't happened. I actually half rate him as a coach. I don't think he's done a particularly bad job there. I think it's just a massive rebuilding sort of situation there at Hull. But to be honest, everything's there, isn't it? All the building blocks are there. He's got an entire city to have the run in.
Do apologise.
You're falling asleep on me. Yeah. You're thinking I'm waffling too much.
Yeah, you're boring me about Hull and Hull KR because it's bad news regarding them because they've announced they're going to be sharing their academies. What's all that about?
That is absolutely ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Are you listening?
I'm sorry, but I mean, there's about five or six. There's about 12 teams in Hull, isn't
exactly.
there, that play rugby league.
Yeah.
And you're not telling me that they're just going to combine and let all that talent go to waste, because obviously there's only 25 spots in a squad, isn't
there? If say they unearth a hidden gem that we don't know about, a future star,
okay,
right,
another Paul Cook,
who or where does he go to? Who gets the decision? Does he go to Hull KR, or does he go to Hull FC, or does he just draw his name out of the hat?
I wonder whether what we'll see instead will be like charity boxing matches between the board members.
All right,
do you reckon that'll solve it?
Yeah,
you know, so you can just imagine, is it Neil Hudgell,
yeah,
the chairman, going toe-to-toe with Adam Pearson. Three rounds.
That'd be a good encounter, that.
They'd probably
Get it on Sky TV. They're desperate for anything these days.
I think it's a wrong decision, to be honest, by Hull and Hull Kingston Rovers. It smacks of them just saving a few pence and pounds here and there when really, instead of going over to Australia and signing, you know, third-rate Aussies who have never made it in the NRL, and probably never will, Terry Campese accepted, of course, you know, very good player, been excellent for Hull Kingston Rovers when he's been on form, and there's one or two exceptions at Hull as well, but generally the two of them, they've made some terrible overseas signings. I think they should concentrate purely on the youth for a couple of seasons, and I reckon that we will see Hull rise to the top of the game again.
Well, that's the plan regarding sharing the academies, but I'm not a fan of it. Should keep it totally separate and keep your own identity. But let's move away from that. We mentioned the bottom four of the championship taking their place in the middle eight.
Hang on, you said bottom four of
Super League, I mean.
Bottom four of the champion. No, where are they going?
Super League, I meant.
Right,
bottom
okay.
four.
Just right. Getting you to clarify
yeah.
it.
Okay, let's get my head around this. Top four of the championship has been settled as well. Leela, they're the winners. They claimed the prize ahead of Bradford Bulls, who were in there as well. Sheffield are also there. Mm-hmm. And the surprise package, Halifax.
Well, yes. I mean, if you'd asked me, 10, 12 weeks ago, would Halifax be making this top four in the championship? I would have said probably not. You know, I was disappointed with the way that they played against Lee at Lee, because had they stuck to rugby, they could probably have beaten the Centurions on that day, because Lee weren't really on the metal. But
they've earned the place, though, because they've gone into the business end, as we're calling it. They've won the last eight games.
Yeah, I was coming to that. He's gone and playing an exciting brand of rugby as Richard Marshall. They're scoring a lot of points. They've got two halfbacks who obviously know what they're doing now. You know, Ben Johnston seems to have really settled in as the fullback stroke pivot player. Scott Morrell's been doing stuff, and they've been getting regular try scorers, and obviously it's nice to see the likes of Steve Tyrer, who's got some affinity with your club Widnes down the years, making an impression on the championship again. And I don't know, I'm really pleased, to be honest, for Halifax, because let's be honest, everybody expected Lee to be there. Everybody expected Bradford to be there, thereabouts. Sheffield have a very, very good squad. I'm not too sure how, you know, the managing to keep all that together, because there's some Super League backs in that Sheffield ranks. But, you know, Mark Aston's done a good job. Richard Marshall's done an even better one for mine. He's been on maybe a quarter of the budget of Bradford to put his squad together.
Guess what else happened since you've been away?
I don't know. Go on.
Doncaster actually won the game,
they
baby.
Did.
Get
they
in
did.
There, the Dons.
They did. It was a great victory. A great victory.
I was hoping they'd have gone on that fantastic losing run like they did in the 70s and they could have made a documentary about it again.
Oh, no, I won't wish that on anybody. Although it's a great watch on YouTube if you do get the opportunity. Other file sharing websites and viewing websites are available, of course.
Yeah, so well done to Doncaster. Unfortunately, they couldn't back it. They got thrashed by Halifax the week after.
They did, yeah. But fair play to them. They beat Hunslet, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was where the long run ended. And, you know, this season's lurched from one disaster to another for Hunslet. I notice over the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've slipped towards the bottom of the Championship and will take their place in the Championship Shield.
Mentioned the Challenge Cup semi-final. St Helens versus Leeds, Hokie versus Warrington. Who's going to be at Wembley? I'm going to go Warrington and Leeds.
Saints and Hull KR. I'll go the other way.
All right, you go the other way then.
Yeah, well, it's been a long time for Hull Kingston Rovers, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They last went to Wembley back in 96, 97. That was when they...
They got beat by Castleford, didn't they?
No. I'm talking about the illustrious one-season Challenge Cup plate that was played.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. They beat Lee in the semi-final.
They did.
5,000 people all going nuts. Seeing Hull Kingston Rovers, you know, do so well. That was the days when Stanley Jean was playing for Hull Kingston Rovers, of course.
He was, and that's another trophy that's been destined to the history books of rugby league.
It's died to death.
Got a history of that rugby league, haven't
there's it? A lot of that. I mean, the famous Captain Morgan Trophy.
Yeah.
The ITA Challenge Cup.
The A&B Cup.
A&B Motors. Hey, there's Wiggins one.
Versus Lee.
Get in there.
What was the Wigan Warrington one? The Walker Cup.
Oh, the Wigan Warrington.
Walker Cup.
That was the Locker
the
Cup. Wasn't
the Locker
it?
Cup, Locker not the Cup. Walker Cup.
Yeah, I tell you what, there was some bruised egos in those sort of games, wasn't
there? Sure,
there
was. Yeah, no such thing as a friendly. Good to see Marvin Kukash coming out on the attack at Salford.
Good.
And in his words, setting the record straight regarding former players.
Well, I just find it quite interesting that, you know, the latest thing that's come out from Salford is that they probably will have to pay some money to Kevin Locke. Unbelievably. And he's got to be the most unluckiest man in rugby league. He signs for a madcap German over at Salford, plays a handful of games, keeps getting injured. He's gone to Wakefield for a fresh start. He's just got injured there as well,
yeah,
hasn't he?
Yeah, reckon he's out for the season. But Marwan Kukash wanted to set the record straight regarding former players who've put in appeals and claims for non-payments.
Did he answer any of it, though?
Probably did in his head.
But, yeah. I mean... I have to admit, I really like Marwan Kukash as someone who will go out and will speak candidly about rugby league. Yes, he goes on his own sweary rants on occasion, but don't we all? Don't we all? We all like a good swear occasionally.
No comment.
No, he's not saying anything. He's not biting. But I don't know. If I'm a Salford fan, I'm really, really disappointed in Marwan Kukash because he's made them a circus of a club and I think that their fans deserve a little bit better in honesty.
Just one other story to bring us up to date before we move on. The Maroons, that's Queensland to everybody else within the world of rugby league, they claim the state of origin down under with a thumping 52-6 win over, the Blues? South Wales?
That was right, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's saying what a great game it was, but if that would have happened over in this country, scrap it, it's not worth doing.
Well, they did, didn't they? You've got to go back to the 1980s and the Lancashire and Yorkshire Roses.
Yeah.
Rosie's battles. Usually Yorkshire had set out of the blocks and put 30 or 40 points on Lancashire. They dumped it into touch. Then they resurrected it, didn't they, early 2000s?
Yeah.
Dumped it after 3 years. So, you know, hey, we don't want to see things like that happening at International Rugby League and, you know, representative rugby league.
Well, they always seem to like it. And they were saying it was a great game.
I'll invite them to Lee then, shall I, for when they're playing against, you know, the likes of Hunslet and what have you, shall I?
Yeah.
I bet they'd really revel about that.
I'm sure they will. Mm-hmm. Should we go back to 2005 for our vintage rugby league season?
Let's go back to 2005 for our vintage rugby league season.
2005 was the Super League 10, of all things.
Well, that would make sense. We're in Super League 20 this year.
Yeah, your maths are brilliant, aren't they? Super League champions of this year were Bradford Bulls. How the mighty have fallen.
They beat Leeds in the final, didn't they? 15 points to 6, I believe. It was a bit of a scrappy game, much like last season's grand final between...
Every grand final's been a scrappy game.
So, yeah. They're not usually the best, are they?
No.
Usually because they played in driving rain. They insist in holding it in Manchester, don't they?
Yeah. I think they need to have a rethink.
Yeah. Take it to the Bahamas or somewhere.
Take it to Wembley.
Wembley? Mm. What, again?
Yeah.
Twice in 6 weeks?
Why not?
The fans can't afford that.
I'm sure they can.
Hang on, we've got a test match in London later this year, haven't we? As well. Anyway, back to 2005.
Yeah, the championship winners were Casper Tigers.
They beat Whitehaven in the final.
They did. But
Stephen Carmack.
But they weren't the league of winners because Whitehaven were of all clubs.
That's right, yeah. I remember an outstanding clash about 2 or 3 weeks before the end of the season when Castleford, they went up to Whitehaven. They took about 2,500 spectators with them. 6,000 speckies all on the recreation ground. Can you imagine a ground that
packed?
Wow. I can't imagine it. It seems full, that, with 1,200 on.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's just one of those places. It's the recreation ground up at Whitehaven. But, over 6,000 fans were in attendance and they saw Whitehaven wipe the floor with Castleford. But the boot was on the other foot in the grand final when, for a second year in succession, Mick Nanning found himself on the losing side.
Yeah, don't want to remind Steve McCormack, but that's the start of many grand final defeats, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, he lost to Leeds into the year before.
Yeah.
Followed that up with a 36-8 defeat against Castleford. And, yeah, it just went from bad to worse in grand finals for poor Steve, didn't it?
Yeah, he didn't have a good record for Widnes Vikings there as well. Sadly, weren't to be for Steve McCormack, but well done, Cass Tigers in 2005. Championship 1.
Oh, I've just had a thought.
What?
Can you think who the coach was of Castleford Tigers back in 2005?
Is it Terry Matheson? No.
Before Terry.
Oh, you've got
tick,
me.
Tick, tick, tick.
Don't know.
It's Dave Woods.
Dave Woods.
You know Dave Woods, him of the commentator?
Yeah, Big Dave Woods.
Big Dave.
Yeah,
was really good, actually, as Castleford coach that year. Very surprised that he didn't end up taking them into Super League because he was soon shunted out the door and Terry Matheson joined.
Whatever, Big Dave has gone, he's always been shunted out the door, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, isn't it? You know, but yeah.
Big Dave.
That was my little bit of rugby league trivia for you.
Championship 1 saw York City Knights get promoted from the off because they finished top of the pile, and they were joined by Batley, who defeated Dewsbury in the playoffs.
I remember that being a cracking playoff final this year. 28-26 it finished. It
was Batley.
Classic rugby league played there.
Let me Yorkshire accent then. Batley.
I did, yeah. I think Francis Maloney as well was playing in that final. I can't remember who
he was
playing for.
You are digging the names out. Yeah, Francis Maloney.
I can't remember who he was playing for, but of course he had that great stint with Cast, didn't he?
Until
a couple of years just before then.
Yeah. Champions Cup winners, we can always remember. Who can always forget Danny Brough winning the game for Hull FC and breaking the hearts of the Leeds Rhinos.
Oh.
John Cade dancing around Cardiff with the Champions Cup on his head.
Glory days.
Glory days for Hull FC.
They haven't been better since for Hull, really, have they?
They haven't, no. Northern Rail Cup winners, remember that competition? Hulkinson Rovers won that one.
Hang on, you're speaking to a Lee fan. How can we forget the Northern Rail Cup? They've won it more times than anybody else. They didn't win it this year.
Didn't win it that year though. Hulky R won it.
No, well, they couldn't because
defeated Castleford.
They had an attempt on Super League, did Lee? I would say played in Super League, but the way that the results panned out, it was just an attempt, really.
World Club Challenge wins were Leeds Rhinos, stunning the Aussies at Elland Road.
Yeah, defeated the Bulldogs, I think it was. 39-32, very high-scoring game from what I remember. But if I also remember as well, the Bulldogs named half a reserve side.
Didn't take it seriously, but Leeds were up for the fight and waving the Union Jack with pride on the night.
Most of which, actually, those Bulldogs players have since played over here in Super League. Little unknown fact for you there.
I'm amazed. You mentioned Leeds in Super League, but they were relegated alongside Widnes from Super League.
Yeah. Leeds were deservedly relegated. Widnes, it was a lot closer, wasn't it, actually, in the bottom two or three. And they made way because, of course, Catalan's Dragons were coming in the season after.
Yeah, Widnes, still the club to have only been relegated without finishing bottom. That happened in 96 as well.
Okay. Yeah. You sound bitter.
I think everyone in Widnes was bitter that year.
Get over it. It's history.
It was history. Rugby League had three divisions, as we already know. It was also the Andy Farrell swap called. How dare he go to the dark side of rugby?
Tell you what, Rugby League certainly had the best of him, though, didn't they?
Did, yeah.
I was reading an article in a recent Wigan programme, and it said that over the period of the Super League years, there's only two players that have filled the number 13 jersey. He was one of them, Andy Farrell. Superb player on his day, great leader.
We mentioned the club winners. The awards going to individual players and coaches. Man of Steel this year was Jamie Lyon.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Jamie Lyon got the Players' Player of the Year. Richard Whiting, young player of the year. How old's Richard Whiting now?
Richard Whiting in his testimonial year at Hull.
Got to be in his 30s, then, hasn't he?
So there you go, yeah.
Coach of the Year was Tony Smith.
Yeah.
Rugby League Writers of the Year, Player of the Year was Jamie Lyon, so a clean sweep for Mr. Lyon. Kevin Sinfield got the Lance Todd Trophy, despite losing the game to Hull FC. And Leon Price was the Harry Sunderland Trophy winner in the grand final.
Yeah, I think he came up with a couple of real good try-scoring plays, didn't he?
He did.
From memory. And he had a good game, very influential on that day.
And just quickly looking at the league ladder, Harlequin sixth.
Wow. They'd love that down in London now, wouldn't they?
Of course they would.
Blimey. How the mighty have fallen indeed. Was there also a dream team that year?
There was a dream team, yeah.
Who was in the dream team?
Oh, I just want to see. Some names here for you.
Go on.
Fullback was Paul Wellens.
Oh, of course, recently retired.
Number two was Mark Calderwood.
Mark, what happened to him?
Happened to Mark Calderwood?
In fact, he ended up going to Wigan, didn't he? He was great at Leeds. Was very, very quick on the chase.
Did he have a stint at Hull FC as well?
Had a stint at Hull. Finished at Workington.
Finished at Workington, of all places. Jamie Lyon was number three.
Still going, of course, in the NRL.
Martin Gleeson, number four.
Okay, yeah. I'll
the Greyhound, Darren Albert, number five.
Darren Albert. What happened to him? Did he just retire and go back to Australia?
Just went back home and retired, didn't he? Standoff was Paul Cook. Scrum half was Rob Burrow.
Current Featherstone, number six.
Oh, is he at Featherstone?
He's at Featherstone now. Paul Cook was of course, coach of the season last year at Doncaster.
Rob Burrow, number seven. Number eight, Jamie Thackeray. He's back playing,
Jamie Thackeray, he's playing for London Broncos. Injured at the weekend, unfortunately. Get well soon, Jamie.
Kieran Cunningham is number nine.
Of course, St. Helens coach.
Paul Anderson, number 10.
Of course, Huddersfield coach.
Jamie Peacock, number 11.
You know, he's been playing in the front row for about 8 years now, and you forget that he started off as a
second
back row forward,
for,
didn't
for
you?
The balls, yeah. Ali Lawatisi was alongside him.
Blimey, still going at work.
Loose forward was Kevin Sinfield.
He's at Wakefield, isn't he, Ali Lawatisi?
In his testimonial year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember when Leeds signed him, and Tony Smith hailed him as the most important signing Leeds have made, not just that season, but that decade.
He was very good. He was great value. I remember his offloads. He's magic with the ball in hand, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Absolute magic. And you still see glimpses of it when he's playing for Wakefield, although they tend to be in much shorter bursts than they were during that time at Leeds when he was in his pomp. This is, of course, Radio General. This is, of course, loverugbyleague.com.
And this is, of course, the Final Hooter.
Plenty of courses in that one.
Horses for courses.
We're not going back to my one, are we?
No, we're not.
No, thank goodness for that. He's had enough, say. In fact, he gets a mention every show.
Every show we give
every
him a mention.
Every show.
It's because he's slipping me a fiver.
We should be doing his publicism, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
We should be publishing everything.
Everyone are loving them.
Yeah. We'll turn the world of rugby league in his favour.
Okay, let's get some reaction from the games that have gone by. The big game in the Championship saw Lee and Bradford go toe-to-toe at Alstall. Surprisingly, no fights. One or two elbows and a couple of eye shots, but no fight.
You sound surprised at that. Give over.
Well, so I wanted a fight.
Well, it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. Two very well-marshalled sides, it must be said, on this day. James Child did a pretty good job in separating the teams, but I noticed they did name a Super League referee in the middle for that one. Very exciting game, by the way. 36 points each.
Let's hear from Lowe's and Rowley.
It was a good game, wasn't it? Yeah, good game to watch. Very entertaining. A little bit disappointed with some of the errors we made. They're a good rugby side, Lee. They're a good rugby side. If you give them so much field position, they'll challenge you. And you know, we give them too many opportunities, brought in both halves. But I have to say, you know, our effort there was fantastic. Again, pleased we got the amount of points, but disappointed the opposition got 36 points. But I mean, I've just said that, just alluded to that. We just make some big errors at certain times, at crucial times really, you know. Our first half, I think it was Adam Henry dropped the ball for kickoff. You know, we just got a try and we should be really building on that momentum, but we keep shooting ourselves in the foot. We're learning, but it's a slow process at the moment. And we can't afford to do that through these, you know, these middle eights with the Super League clubs. I think both sides realise the importance of, but you know, in the sort of big picture, the grand scheme of things, it has no relevance or no bearing as what's going to happen in the next stage. But you always want to win and you always want to beat the top sides, and they'll be of the same thinking. They've come away with a point and a little bit. We've mixed the emotions down there in the dressing room because they wanted to win, put themselves in good position several times to win. But just a couple of, like I said, just a couple of errors that offered Lee the opportunity to score and get back in the game, and I think it was probably a fair result in the end. It's two clubs that should be in Super League. That sort of crowd, you know. Lee bring a great away support. We need some of these stuff. It's, you know, a fantastic turnout from Bradford fans, as we have all year. It's the real first time we've really had some away support, and Lee have come in, you know, with plenty of numbers and filled that home terrace. So, credit again to both sides of supporters on this occasion.
What were your thoughts on that game? That's a bit of everything, isn't it?
Yeah, I think probably walk from the dressing rooms to here, everyone's saying what a good advertisement it was for Championship Rugby. Well, I guess, I suppose, quite a few of the elements, you know, the crowd and the high scores, you know, suggest that it probably was. Our point of view, it was a bit of an ugly game. It was a bit soft. We kind of wait and see what they were doing, then we'd react accordingly. So I think we got away with one today. We got away with a draw. But, you know, over the year, we've been the most consistent team. We've worked really hard to get to this point. So, whilst probably we could turn around and be a little bit disappointed with our result, with our performance, I think we won't let it trouble us too much, because you know we dragged a draw out, which you know should bring us, you know, the league leaders now. So we did enough, and that with that. So we're not jumping through hoops, and it's just good to get the point on the board.
It was still a good win on that note, wasn't there, to fight back?
Yeah, we looked really tired, to be fair. I think there was probably the effects shown from the busy schedule that we've had last week with the three games in 1 week, the Challenge Cup, the effort from there. And we looked real tired, in contrast to, we've probably been brilliant for the last 4 weeks, I think. We've been at our best, we've been peaking. But today we looked really flat, low on energy, and we waited for them defensively. We let them dominate and dictate most of the game. To be fair, we had a spell of about 20 minutes in that second half where we dictated, but I think Bradford dictated most of that game. But nevertheless, it's a draw in the end, so we'll be pleased, you know, to come away with that. I think I'm not sure we probably deserve that, to be fair. But he's made it interesting, because Bradford will probably take a lot of joy from that, because they had the star fullback and star pivot missing, who would have damaged us severely, I'm sure, if they'd have played. But from our point of view, we'll be saying, well, our pivots and our fullback, whilst they're in body, weren't at the usual self today. So I think there's better to come from both sides. And we'll wish Bradford all the best. It'd be nice if we can both put a good account of ourselves up, you know, as we come to the middle eights.
That's it. It was a great performance from Mickey Hyam off the bench second half.
Oh, brilliant. But, you know, you need to win the ruck, and we started doing that. Sam Barlow got his nose through a few times, and Mickey took every opportunity on offer, and he was outstanding for that. Well, certainly for 20-minute, 30-minute spell where we posted some points. So, yeah, Mickey were real good.
Jimmy Lowes, what a player he was.
Fantastic player. I just wish he'd get a bit more.
You're going to diss him as a coach.
No,
now,
I just wish that he'd get a bit more excited, because he saw a game like that and just wasn't excited one bit.
Come on, Jimmy, get excited, will you?
He just chose to pick on the bad bits. But then again, so too did Paul Rowley. He said that Lee didn't really, you know, find the straps in that particular game, and he's probably right. You know,
what Lee needed was a fight to find the straps.
You keep saying this. You keep giving this impression.
What a fight!
You keep giving this impression. Listen, Lee are an aggressive side.
Listen, round one of the championship, them two have more fights in the opening 20 minutes than I've seen at any game of rugby league this season.
Oh, give over.
I wanted a fight.
Give over.
9,000 fans went there looking for a boxing match, not a rugby league match.
Yeah, they didn't get one. They got a rugby league
match. Great attendance, by the way.
Yeah, fantastic attendance. And a tale of two hat-tricks as well. Amari Cairo scoring a hat-trick for Bradford Bulls.
Amari Cairo!
Yeah.
He's a man from the past for Hull KR.
Yeah, yeah. He was released at the end of last season, scoring 20-odd tries, I think. I think he scored 20 tries, didn't
he? Scored 20 tries? You're not good enough, so you're on your way out. What's that about?
And Johnny Pownall filling in for the prolific Liam Kay, also claiming a hat-trick. His last one was a pearler.
I like the lad Liam Kay. I'd like to see him applying his trade in Super League.
Yeah, I think he will be soon.
You're hoping with Lee, not
definitely
with anyone
else. Yeah, of course. Did I give that impression that I wanted him to leave and go anywhere else?
You might do.
No, he's a top guy, Liam Kay.
Yeah, so obviously Lowe's and Rowley happy with a point. They'll be looking to renew the battle when the middle eight start. Or the qualifiers, as they're called now.
The qualifiers, yes, let's get it right. People have been calling it middle eights. I've just got this impression, you know, it's going to be all like wizards and everything fighting each other, because it's like middle eights, middle earth. No? You're not getting that one? No? He's looking at me blankly. Sorry.
Let's move on, shall we?
Go on.
Let's hear from St. Andrews coach Kieran Cunningham after their dramatic win against Warrington. Kieran Cunningham, you said it before, Saints seem to find a way to win, and you did it again tonight.
Yeah, we did, and we just found a way and hung in there against a very resilient and very quick Warrington side that put us under, you know, put us under large amounts of pressure. So I'm really pleased with the players. You know, the fashion that they won, you know, where they backs against the wall and they hung in there and the middles were tired and they just carried on and ground through it. And, you know, there's lots of good performances across the field. So to get the 2 points was phenomenal.
Great result overall and a good boost ahead of the top four race.
Yeah, well, all we could do is take care of what we can take care of, and that was tonight's game and then next week's game. And we've got no bearing on what Leeds do or Wigan or Huddersfield or anybody. You know, we've just got to look after what we can look after, and that's what we've done tonight. You know, we've scraped the points and we've picked Warrington's pocket again, and on to next week, you know.
Fans are singing, that's why we're champions, and champions win games like that, don't they?
Well, they do, and that's probably why we were disappointed as a club over the last 2 weeks, you know, with our performances. And we, even though we got the win, because the standards are so high at this club, and when you drop below that standards, it stands out, you know, obviously, that you know where you're at. And yeah, I'm really pleased with my middles. I'm really pleased with my middles, because they did an outstanding job and played against a real good, quick Warrington side. And to hang in there and push through it is, you know, it's a real good milestone for them. You know, they've really turned that corner, and that's the way we want to play as a club.
What a game that was between St. Andrews and Warrington, and what a try. What a try.
I've got to be honest, that was, if not the most enjoyable, the second most enjoyable game that I've seen this season. That was following the Lee match against Bradford, of course.
Obviously, yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. Stunning try to finish the game. And is Jordan Turner the form centre of Super League this year?
He's up there, isn't he?
I think he's playing some tremendous rugby. I mean, he's always been one of those. He's almost like a late developer, isn't he? You know, it's taken a little while for him to find his straps, to really reach the zenith of his game, and he's found it now.
What's that mean?
He's got right to the top. He's playing well.
Right, don't bamboozle me with posh words, please.
Sorry. Your witness is finest, aren't you? Can't use big words.
When St. Andrews went searching for a fullback and they brought up the name Adam Quinlan, everyone said, Adam who? Adam who? What an introduction to British Rugby League. He scores a hat-trick on his debut and then sets up the winning try on his second match.
Oh, and there was some mesmeric handling, weren't there? I mean, he slices through the middle, turns and finds support, it goes through another five pairs of hands straight over to Turner. But you're right, it was probably one of those games where to be fair, there's not a lot that a fullback can do in a game like that, because they were kicking the ball away from him, weren't they? So we didn't get to see too much of him ball in hand. Certainly not as much as we saw of him the week before, that's for sure.
And let's not forget the energy shown by James Roby to get St. Helens on the front foot in the final minute.
Got to be honest, James Roby is the man of steel.
He's up there again, isn't he?
I don't think there's anybody else who'll touch him this season. I think he has been tremendous. He does the work of two men every week. You know,
everyone's saying Cuthbertson at Leeds could be there.
Cuthbertson, maybe that's a good shape. But he's just a mere challenger to Roby. Roby is the top number nine in the country. He's the top number nine in the world for me.
Well, the Aussies might disagree because he's never been to the NRL.
Yeah, but what do they know? What do the Aussies know about rugby league?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. They think 52-6 is an entertaining game.
Yeah, Kieran Cunningham's certainly doing the job at St. Helens, and he's got them playing the way he used to play. They're not flashy, they just do the hard yards and do it good, won't they?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I actually think that this is probably the least entertaining St. Helens side that we've seen in about 15 years. However, they've got one thing in the favour: heart. The coach has it in abundance. You can see how much it means to him. He's a local man. He's got local people around him. He's got a skipper with pride. And I just get the feeling, you know, that they'll end up winning something this season, I think, St. Helens. I think they'll do it. I think they'll go all the way and win the grand final.
Okay, we've heard from some coaches. Let's hear from some players, shall we? Here's some crafty scrum halves in Richie Myler and Matty Smith. Richie Myler, pulsating game against the Saints, but they snatched it right at the end. Heartbreak.
I know, it was a tough to take. It's one of those. It was a good game, wasn't it? It was good for the fans. I thought we defended well. I think we I don't know how many penalties we're given in the first half, but it was a bit ridiculous in the end, wasn't it? Both sides. I think like the run we've been on, we've come quite a long way. I mean, a couple of months ago, we wouldn't have even been in that game the way we were playing. So. No, it's an improvement. Saints, for credit to Saints, top of the league, and they're playing well. So we ran them right to that end of thing, and we've got to kick on now and keep this momentum going.
To the Saints' credit, they dominated the first half, so the boys were still in the game, to be fair, at half time.
It was one of those games. I mean, we did so much defence. I think they had the ball for about five more sets than us in the first half, which was ridiculous. And just when you do that much work, it sometimes takes its toll. And I think they chanced around at the very end of the game and threw the ball around, and credit to them, they scored. So, no, it's one of those big improvements from us. I thought if we can iron out a few little errors and kicking a little bit, finishing sets a bit better, and not giving as many penalties away, I think we'll have a good run in the eight.
Let me level it up. Do you think that was game done and dusted?
I think so. I thought when we put him in the corner, I thought it's going to be tough to go 100 metres. And it needed a big play for them to do it. And for Saints, a good side, and if they if you give them a chance, still they can hurt you, like you say, and they did do so. It's a tough one to take, but we'll dust ourselves off.
Matty Smith, it wasn't a polished Wigan performance, but it was a victory tonight.
Yeah, I think that's all that matters. This stage of the year, getting that 2 points. We wanted to be a bit more consistent after a good performance last week, but I think that performance last week probably took a little bit out of us looking at us tonight. And but we got the win. I think early on the year we'd have probably lost that game playing like we did. So, it's good to get the win and 2 points, and we'll move on now to next week.
Gosh, we'll fly, but then wouldn't it seem to regroup and make your life hard for yourselves?
Yeah, I think that's, they played really well tonight, let's be fair to witness. I think they, ran harder, they put the players on. The two halfbacks have been playing well for them, so they asked a few questions, and we was a bit poor that first half. We didn't get to our kickers as much as we'd like, and didn't complete our sets. So a bit disappointed that first half, but I thought second half we defended a lot better, and our skill was a lot better. So it's good just to get the 2 points. We didn't play brilliantly, but I think when you're not playing too well and winning games, still it's a sign that you're coming together a little bit, and it's a sign of a good side.
You mentioned witness for asking the questions, so you're obviously happy to have answered those questions.
Yeah, I mean, they throw the ball around. I mean, they've got, like I mentioned, they've got two good halves. They ran out of tonight. The middles, played really well for them. So they was always going to trouble us. But if when we want to defend and when we kick the ball long and we keep them in their half, we're pretty good at were pretty good at that, but we just didn't do that in the first half. I thought we let them off the hook a little bit with the, you know, the penalties we gave away and the, you know, the errors we made so with the ball. So it's, you know, a lot better second half and a lot more to build on for next week and a lot more to practice. But you know, we look forward to that next week. We need to win.
Richie Myler obviously disappointed to have lost the game, but he won't be too concerned. He's off to sunny France next year.
That's true, yeah. A bit of a strange signing, that one, I thought. I wasn't expecting Catalans to come out with that signing, if I'm being honest.
Well, they needed a replacement for Scott Giroud, who's announced he's going back home. But Myler was saying he wants to go Australia. What happened?
Maybe he didn't get that many nibbles, you know, on the fact that he's ended up at Catalans. I mean, don't get me wrong. For some players, it has really lifted them to another level. I mean, Scott Giroud came over here as a bit halfback, didn't he?
He did.
He's been the main man at Catalans for the last 3 years. But is Myler in the same class as Giroud at the moment?
Possibly not.
I don't know.
Obviously, Catalans think he's the man for the job.
He's still only 24, 25, isn't he, Richie Myler? So he's still got time on his side. But I would just really have liked him to be doing a little bit more. Maybe he'll get the opportunity at Catalan, so I hope that the move goes well for him and that you maybe catch up with him this time next year and he's speaking fluent French.
He will be, and it'll be time how he's enjoying pushing his new baby down the promenade on the beach in Perpignan.
Lovely.
Rather than Warrington High Street.
Not that there's anything wrong with Warrington High Street, I hasten to add.
Matty Smith, he's been around Wigan for a while now, but he's the main man, isn't he? But he's got the young pretender George Williams alongside him.
To be fair, George is playing some good rugby. I mean, we saw him in that game against Widnes where he grasped the nettle, didn't he, last 20 minutes, him. And to be fair as well, Sean O'Loughlin, I know I was jesting about his non-appearance for England before, but you know, Sean O'Loughlin still offers an important leadership role to that Wigan club, and he was very important, as was George Williams. Matty Smith is well protected there in a way, isn't he? Because he's got these players around him. You look out wide, he's got Gellin, who's coming back into form. You look, they've got Manfredi, Burgess and Charnley, you know, three great wingers to have at a club.
Yeah, Joel Burgess is making me eat egg pie, isn't he? Because I was saying he's suffering from second season syndrome, but he's come back all guns blazing.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, he had a really, really slow start to the year, didn't he? And it was looking like he was trying too hard, I feel. Obviously, it was announced early doors in the season that he was off down under. And I think initially, everybody thought, right, that's it, we're going to let him have it. And he came up with quite a few mistakes, but to his credit, he has really come back. And to get 20-plus tries in a season for a winger, he's thereabouts, isn't it? It's where you want a winger to be.
We mentioned Super League, that's just touch base with Championship 1. It's hot and up there, isn't it, for the Rays to get out of there straight away. Oldham are leading the way, but they've got the Crusaders, keep on calling them Crusaders. North Wales are down there, are up there with them.
Well, they're still North Wales Crusaders.
They are, yeah.
Right.
The Crusaders are putting a decent run together under Anthony Murray. They're really powering on the pressure.
And to be honest, Keighley aren't that far away from the Rochdale top either.
Rochdale in there as well.
However, Keighley have one problem this season. It's called Swinton Lions. They just can't seem to beat Swinton.
No.
They played them four times this year. They've lost four times.
That's not a good record, is it?
I'm certainly one that they'll all be hoping to get rid of. I'm sure they might end up playing him again before the end of the season, maybe in the playoffs. But yeah, you're right, things hotting up, although something has to be done about the southern based clubs, because in honesty, none of them are anywhere near beating a northern-based club.
It's been a while, hasn't it, since a southern-based team has beaten a northern team?
I saw a tweet.
The northern powerhouse.
Yeah, I saw a tweet. You're heading into Tory territory there. Stop it. Get out of it. Quick, yeah, Adrian.
Okay.
Quick.
I will.
Quick. I do get the feeling that, you know, something has to be done. It's over 50 weeks since a southern-based team beat a northern based team, and that record doesn't look like ending anytime soon.
Right, we mentioned the front runners. Who's going to get out of there? Oldham, Crusaders, Rochdale, Swinton, Keighley.
The thing for me that will hold Oldham back is their ramshackle ground.
It's been vandalised again.
Unfortunately, yes, it has been vandalised again. They've been trying the level best for the last 3 or 4 years, to be honest, of Oldham, to try and pick things up and try and, you know, build from the base, but it's not happening for them. Every time they go forward, they take two steps back because of mindless vandals. the sooner that they can
it's
get...
It's like the, the modern day Alt Park.
You're right. That's heightened, isn't it?
It
for
is.
Our younger listeners.
That used to get vandalised a lot as well.
And in fact, I was having a conversation with someone at the weekend where I said exactly the same thing as what you've just said there, Adrian. And I do get the feeling that they need to move away from the... They need to start speaking with the football club again. I hope that can be arranged. But other teams that I think will go close to gearing up, but I think you're right to highlight the North Wales Crusaders. I think they're smartly coached by Anthony Murray and Alan Hadcroft up there. They've got some real smart and good players there too. And Keith Lee aren't that far behind.
Just thinking about the crafty scrum half, who's the better one, Smith or Myler?
Smith.
Yeah, I'd agree with that one.
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry, Richie.
Just at this moment, but maybe in a couple of years, maybe the tables will have turned. Tables are certainly turning anyway, aren't they?
Certainly turning on us, Parky, because we're running out of time.
Once again, absolute pleasure being in your company, Mr.
Love
Jackson.
Love being back in the world of rugby league, and we'll do it all again.